Good afternoon. The time is 2 o'clock. Welcome to Vox Pop on this Food Friday, November 3rd. I'm Ray Graff. Well, the holidays are on the way, and you know what that means. For many of us, it's inviting family that we rarely talk to and rarely want to talk to over to have some food and drink. Well, today on Food Friday, we will talk about pairing food and drink. And we have wine expert Bill Johnston here, joined by food aficionado Peter Blackman, wondering what wine goes best with that traditional holiday meal, or maybe even one that's a little more casual. We'll help you make those matches. Give us a call, 800-348-2551, 800-348-2551. It's a Food Friday, don't you know? We'll be back after the news. Hello once again. Welcome back to Vox Pop, WAMC's live afternoon call-in talk show. I'm Ray Graff. Well, the focus of this Food Friday is how to pair food and drink for the holiday season. And in the studio to help us do that, Bill Johnston and Peter Blackman. Bill is a certified wine expert with more than 20 years of industry experience. He is now a fine wine importer with Tri-Vin Imports serving the Capital Region. Peter has spent roughly three decades in the restaurant business. He is the proprietor of Veronica's Culinary Tavern in Altamont, New York. Bill and Peter, welcome back to the show.
Thank you, thank you.
Thank you for having us.
Nice to have you guys here once again. Our number is 800-348-2551, 800-348-2551. You can also email the program, voxpop@wamc.org, and we will try to get to a few emails as we go along here, but the phone calls take precedent here on the program, 800-348-2551, 800-348-2551. All right, first, before we start with today's show, Bill, we had just a strange turn of events on the last program about freezing wine. I was incredulous. Somebody had called about it, and I didn't believe it was possible, and you've done some homework.
Yes, absolutely. You know, wine, there is science in wine, and so you don't mind being our test dummy today, do you, Ray?
I'm a dummy all the time, so just add the word test, and we're good to go. Sure, man, sure.
So what happened is, obviously, we had somebody who called in June, and she wanted to know, if I drink one glass of wine out of a bottle, then what do I do with the rest of it? And that's an excellent question. I get it quite a lot, and fortunately, many years ago in 1999, Peter Lindell from Wappingers Falls, Viscount Liquors, he's a high-end wine guy, very, very knowledgeable guy, and he schooled me. He had done a large, extensive project. Weeks he worked on this, testing each and every type of preserving wine back in 1999 technology.
Okay.
You know, technology's changed since then.
Freezers have changed since then,
no,
obviously.
But there are other ways. There's a new, absolutely perfected cuvée that works that's come up since then, but that's very expensive and not for the average caller.
Okay.
But this is. It's very simple. You take the bottle of wine.
Yeah.
Whenever you're ready to store it, you put it in a freezer bag. Pour the wine into the freezer bag.
Okay.
You don't leave it in the bottle.
No.
And then you eliminate the air from the bag. Then you put it in a second freezer bag and do the air thing again so you get a double seal so you don't get any leakage or freezer burn. And then you just stick it in the freezer. I've been doing this for 18 years.
Okay, you came in yesterday. Talk about doing homework for a program. You came in yesterday with a bag of red stuff, and I said, what are you doing here a day ahead of time? And second of all, why is it frozen? And so this is what you were doing.
Yes, in September 6th exactly.
Okay.
I froze a bottle of Fuerza, which is a big Cabernet-based red blend from southern Spain.
Yeah.
And then I brought the frozen block of wine into your studio yesterday for Vino Veritas so you could see that I wasn't making it up.
Right.
And I wasn't just pulling this out of my hat.
I believe you.
And we also have a fresh bottle that we opened today.
Aha. So I'm going to compare them.
Exactly.
My discerning wine palate will be at work here.
We trust you.
You know, first of all, I'm amazed that Zach the engineer didn't see the half-frozen bag of wine and say, oh, Slurpees, okay, and just, yeah. Oh, you did do that. Oh, Zach, well, that explains any number of things. Okay, so what do we got here?
This is
the frozen?
This is the frozen.
Okay, well, it looks like wine.
Yeah.
Now, first of all, doesn't the alcohol rise to the top?
Well,
when you freeze it?
There are changes. The there are many changes, but, you know, the end of the long story, the short story is, of course, there are changes, but think in terms of food. How much frozen food do we consume as a nation? It's unbelievable, right?
Right.
Now, is frozen food exactly the same as fresh food?
Well, White Castle cheeseburgers are pretty close.
But
pretty
they're
close.
Not exactly the same.
Okay, you make a point.
But it's very well accepted and has become very popular.
Okay.
Wine is the same. You know, wine is basically a fresh food product, if you think of it that way. And sure, there are minor changes. If you have a sharp palate, you will pick them up. Unless you have a sharp palate, you probably won't.
Okay,
and
well.
We're going to find out today what strikes us.
It smells, let's try out the smells like one. Wine. Very nice. Here, let's try it. Now we'll roll it around on the tongue.
Mm-hmm.
It certainly would not taste that good if you just left it on the counter since September 6th of 2017. So,
okay,
he's
well,
pouring it down the drain.
It tastes good.
It does taste
good. Nothing
very
wrong.
Good.
To
nothing
me,
wrong.
It's showing beautifully.
It's showing. Now, what? Now, you wine people, what does it mean, showing?
In other words, wine is a living thing, mm-hmm. and it's changing all the time, like all living things. And so when you taste the wine, you're getting a snapshot of where it is in terms of freshness and change
yeah.
at that moment. So showing is just kind of the term that we've come up with.
So
I don't know how it came up.
With your fine palate, Bill, you will be able to tell me when a wine is past its prime just by tasting it.
Oh, yeah. Well, you could tell if a wine is past its prime. The thing of it is, and people say, oh, you know, I don't know anything about wine. I know nothing. But they know a lot more than they think they know because you know what you like. And if you sit, let me put it in terms that you can relate to quickly and easily.
All right.
If you have a seat in an old beat up Chevy from 1985,
mm-hmm.
you don't have to know anything about a car to know that if you get out of that car and you jump into a 2014 Ferrari, that you're in a better car.
Okay. You make a point. Yeah.
So
you
there
make
you
a
go.
Point.
Wine is the same.
All right. So that I have no problem with that frozen wine. So I would say that was a successful experiment. Now you're decanting some unfrozen,
the same exact wine, the same exact vintage.
Okay.
And fresh and open. This was opened about an hour ago.
Okay. By the way, before I taste this, one of my snooty wine friends has what is known as an aerator or something
right.
like that. And it puts air in the wine or takes
yes.
the air out. What is exactly he doing besides trying to impress everybody?
No, that's a very, very good question. And I mentioned earlier about how wine is a living thing.
Yeah.
One of the very active components is tannin and acid, which are both acetic compounds. Tannin is a solid, acid is a liquid. And when a very big, bold, and traditional style wine, not like this, but more like a Bordeaux or a Brunello di Montalcino or
mm-hmm.
the big traditional wines that are very highly acidic, they do not show well when they're very, very young. They're designed to be cellared for decades and will continue to improve over that time. So exposing it to oxygen is going to really quickly give you something that resembles aging, but it's, you know, aging is like a fine scalpel. Exposing a wine to oxygen is like a meat axe. It's going to really chop it up quick.
What exactly happens when I buy my expensive bottle of wine and put it in a wine cellar for decades? What happens?
The flavors integrate, the tannins recede, the fresh fruit and the vibrancy of the fruit recedes, but everything becomes more harmonious. So it's like what happens to a young man? You know, he first gets out of college, he first gets out of high school, he's full of vim and vigor, he has lots of vibrance,
yeah.
but maybe not so much refinement.
Right.
And then a gentleman, 60, 70 years old, maybe he's not going to be able to lift, you know, 150 pounds or whatever. He's not going to be as much vim and vigor, but he'll have this certain elegance and a certain refinement that the young man won't have.
What happened
Same thing
to me?
With wine.
I can't lift 150 pounds, so there's no refinement here. Well, what happened? Oh, I forgot. I'm in radio. All right, so this is...
The fresh.
The fresh. All right, let's try it. Maybe it's psychosomatic or whatever, but I do taste a difference. This tastes rounder to me and a little smoother? Is that possible?
Well, I am getting more tannin. I'm getting more of the acidity. It is more vibrant, as I mentioned before. But you know what? I personally think the frozen's showing better.
What do you think, Peter?
I agree. I think the frozen is smoother and much more mellow. I prefer the fresh.
You prefer the fresh.
I do.
See, I think that the fresh is more mellow, but maybe that's because I had a taste already of the.
Your palate's warmed up.
Well, maybe we're working on that. The excuse. All right, let's take a quick break here. There is a lot of food here as well. We'll talk food pairings. And we'll be back with Bill Johnston and Peter Blackman in a moment. Oh, the number, 800-348-2551. Yeah, it's a call-in program, so let's call.
Support for WAMC comes from Blue Heron Restaurant and Catering. Offering full-service catering at the restaurant in Sunderland and throughout western Massachusetts, blueherondining.com/catering. Rolling Rock Farm Salt and Seasonings, Sheffield, Massachusetts. Now crafting black garlic and black garlic products in small batches. blackgarlicseasalt.com for more information. Spirit House, Amherst, Massachusetts. A family-owned wine, beer, and spirits retailer. Offering organically farmed wines from around the world. Wine tastings Saturday afternoons. spirithaus.com. And Cooperstown Farmers Market, in its 27th year, bringing farmers and artisans together to provide local goods. Open every Saturday year-round, CooperstownFarmersMarket.org.
It's Vox Pop on WAMC, 800-348-2551 on this Food Friday, 800-348-2551, and we talk food and drink pairings today. Bill Johnston is here. He's the wine expert. Peter Blackman is here. He is the proprietor of Veronica's Culinary Tavern in Altamont, New York, and he brought a whole bunch of food to go with the wine that Bill brought. By the way, things are going well at Veronica's?
They certainly are. It's nice to have everybody back from their summer vacations and jaunts and coming and checking out the fall foliage that was not quite as spectacular this year, but we'll take the 80-degree weather over fall foliage any day.
Oh, I don't know. I'm ready for some chilly weather and fires.
It's coming. Don't worry. It is still the
Northeast. Right. I'll be cursing the shoveling in no time. Our number here is 800-348-2551. Oh, Peter, you brought a lot of food. What'd you bring?
We're starting off with an autumn green salad.
This is our first course.
Chef, yes, Alex Carasone made. We've got some fresh spinach, roasted butternut squash, some walnuts, sun-dried cranberries. I left the wontons at the restaurant, but normally that's on there. Gorgonzola, and Alex's homemade apple cider vinaigrette.
Oh, very nice.
Just great for this time of year. Nice hearty salad. So we'll give you a little taste here. I think it's going to pair very nicely with this champagne that.
All right, Bill, tell us about the pairing, Bill.
Well, it was really Peter's idea for this. We had our meeting like we always do to get ready for the show.
And you guys do a lot of show prep.
We do. And he said, why don't we do a champagne? Why don't we do something? I just love sparkling wine for the holidays. I said, Peter, you're a genius. I agree with you 100%. So I went to the company and on bended knee and was able to secure a real Rosé champagne. A lot of people will walk into a store and they see, or a restaurant, and they see a rosé champagne and they assume it's going to be a cheap, sweet wine.
Yeah, like champagne or something. Yeah.
But nothing could be further from the truth. In the champagne world, the rosés are kind of the top flight. They're the best of the champagnes. And this particular one has a dry red wine added later. It's called a dosage. It's late in the process. The wine is already in the bottle.
Yeah.
And it has gone through the secondary fermentation and the tertiary fermentation, and then they re-add some wine. In this particular case, they re-add dry red wine.
Very interesting.
Yep. And then you come up with this. And that's why you have that real distinctive red wine taste that comes forward on this wine.
And it's very delicious with the salad. And I got to say that the dressing is outstanding. It goes great with the gorgonzola.
It's fantastic.
Really satisfying.
Alex is knocking out of the park there.
Really nice. And it goes well with the rosé.
It really does. Nice job.
Our number here is 800-348-2551. You guys want to take a call?
Sure. Yeah, that's why we're here.
You sound a little hesitant. You sure?
Yeah.
Okay. All right, let's do that. Carl in Saratoga Springs. Carl, you're on.
Hi. My question has to do with keeping the wine good if you don't drink it all right after opening it. And I don't think I'd want to freeze it because I'm talking, if I open a bottle of wine and I'm the only one drinking it, it might be a week. So I've got a pump that I use to pump air out, and I don't know if that's really effective. I have a friend who claims nothing works. You open it, drink it. So can you tell me how to keep it the best taste?
Without freezing.
A few days.
Well, you still can freeze it, but if you prefer not to, of course, all you have to do to thaw it out is get it out the day before or the morning before. If you leave for work 6 o'clock, 7 o'clock in the morning, you get it out and you set it on the counter, it's going to be ready for dinner time for you to enjoy. So even if it's 3 days, you can still freeze it. But the pump, the reason that I'm not a huge fan of the pump is it tends to strip a lot of the aromas from the actual wine, and that is a big part of tasting the wine, is the aroma.
Oh, yeah, you can smell it when you pump it out.
Yep. And another option that you can go with is argon gas, the argon blanket. So you buy a can of wine preservative gas in the wine shop, and it has a little straw, and what you do is you carefully turn the bottle up on its side. You just place the straw just over the top level of the liquid within the bottle, and you have to carefully emit that gas so that it sits as a blanket on top of the wine. And then you can't disturb the bottle much. When you tip it back up, you just very carefully tip it back up, because it's easy for oxygen and regular air to disturb that argon blanket and get at the wine. You're still going to get some air exposure doing it that way, but it's an option. It's just another option.
Can you see the argon gas when you lay it on top of the surface of the wine? Can you see something that you know it's spreading?
No, there's no color. It's a colorless, odorless, tasteless, which is what you're looking for.
Also, keeping it in a refrigerator will help a little bit. Even with a red wine, I find that often you'll get another 24 hours out of it. For some reason, the cold seems to not allow the wine to turn as quickly, especially with a red wine.
Okay.
All right. Carl, thanks a lot for the call. Now, I mean, if you're like Carl, you have a glass of wine and it lasts the week. If on Monday Carl has a glass and on Saturday he's finishing that bottle, you really going to tell a difference if he just puts it in a cool, dark place and caps it?
Oh, yes. No
really?
Question.
So it's no good at that point?
Well, no. It depends on the wine. If it's a more traditional wine, it's going to actually be better on Saturday.
Okay.
If it's the Fuerza, it's going to be good. Believe me. If it's a real light Pinot Noir, if it's something from Monterey, something from Oregon, then it can fall apart.
Okay. Well, the pairing for the first course was great. And that salad with the walnuts and everything else, man, it's fantastic. Really
glad you're
nice.
Enjoying it, Ray.
And let's go to line two and Paul in Newburgh. Paul, you're on.
Hi, yes. I wanted to thank you so much for talking about freezing the wine. I had no idea. And many times I thought, well, I'd like to get this, but I'm by myself. And I'm not going to do it. I'm not popping for this because I'm not going to drink the whole thing at one time. I'll forget it in the refrigerator a couple of days later. It's already not showing well, as you say. So I mean, this is just such a wonderful thing to hear. I actually work at a wine store part-time in Newburgh. And people come in and say the same thing that I do. Well, I'd like to get that, but I'm just by myself. I'm just going to get the white today. So this is just wonderful and ingenious to hear. So I'm going to start freezing my wine that I don't finish.
Oh, good for you.
Enjoy.
Or buy argon, because everybody's doing that.
Sure.
All right, well, there you go. Argon, really. So you can go to your wine store and buy argon.
Yeah. Food-grade argon.
You're kidding me.
No, food-grade argon. Yep.
Really? Yeah. That's inert, right? That's not like a Hindenburg situation where you're going to blow up the house.
No, it's not flammable.
All right, our number here is 800-348-2551. It's Food Friday. Bill Johnston here. He's the wine guy from Tri-Vin Imports. And Peter Blackman is here from Veronica's Culinary Tavern in Altamont, New York. And we had our first course of autumn greens with a nice rosé, brut champagne, and we're going to have our second course coming up. But let's take another call. And Allison in Albany. Allison, you're on.
Hi. I was wondering whether freezing the wine interrupts the maturation process so that the tannins stop mellowing and the flavors stop blending?
That's a really, really good question. And I would have to say that it supplants it because it seemed to mature quite a bit more than just a few months when I froze the wine. So I would say, you know, of course, it's not a natural maturation process that you would love to get in a cellar, but it speeds it up, I would say.
That's interesting. Well, thank you very much. That was my question.
Thank you, Allison. Have a great weekend. Our number here is 800-348-2551. It's Food Friday with Bill Johnston and Peter Blackman. And over to line four and John in Rexford. John, you're on.
Yes, hello. Thank you for taking the call.
Sure.
I just had a question. My father-in-law was a wine collector, and he left us with some bottles of French wine that go back to 1990. And the problem I had, we opened a couple, but the corks come apart as you're opening it, I'm guessing just due because they were stored horizontally. So do you have any advice or suggestions on how to uncork these without having a bunch of cork floating in the wine, which was the problem that we ended up with?
And before you start, now, if it does that and the cork breaks up over time, has it ruined it? Has that wine corked, or is that something else?
It is something else. It is possible that it did ruin the wine, because what can happen is then it can open up the door for oxygen to hit the wine, and then the wine will turn to vinegar. But if it stayed as a seal and the cork is destroyed, which is also a possibility, then you're okay. So I would say filter it. Run it through a coffee filter, and you're going to be all right.
Okay, that's what we did in kind of like kitchen panic mode. We figured we went through a coffee filter, and I got to say, I don't know a lot about wine, but I've never had wine like this. It's like a Bordeaux from 95, I think, was the one we had, and just completely different taste. Just nothing like I've ever had before. It was so mellow.
Oh, it sounds like
kind of hard to describe, but
it sounds like you were the recipient of a wonderful treat, because there's no way to replicate a beautiful old wine that has been aged perfectly like that. You got lucky. That's great. So the air never hit it, and your cork survived and kept the seal through all those years. So that's great. That's a great story.
Okay.
Thank you to your father.
Yeah, we have a few more, so we'll just go the coffee filter route because I'm expecting it's going to happen again. It's unavoidable. You just couldn't take it out in one piece.
And you'll have no question if it is corked, you'll take your first sip and it will definitely taste like vinegar. So
okay, awesome. All right, that was my question. Thank you very much.
Thanks, Elliot. We appreciate the call. No, not Elliot. I apologize for that. Our number here is 800-348-2551. Elliot is next. You a wine collector, Bill?
Yeah, absolutely. I've got a lot of wine but the problem is that I am a little too quick on pulling the cork, and sometimes I don't leave it down in my cellar quite long enough.
What's the oldest wine in your cellar?
I probably have something from 98.
Really?
Yeah.
And how many decades can it be before it doesn't really matter anymore? It's already aged as much as it's going to age.
Well, no, they keep on changing. There is a point beyond which it actually is no longer acceptable to drink.
Really?
But it's got to be pretty old. And the great Bordeaux's, certainly they've opened up wines from the 1800s in the modern era, and they've been absolutely beautiful, and they're treasures to open. They opened a 1947 Chateau Talbot for my sommelier examination, and everybody was going crazy.
Really? That's so cool.
It was a lot of fun.
It's almost a sin to open it at that point.
Yeah, well, I'll take that chance.
It was made to drink and enjoy, so everything has its time.
That's a very practical answer, and thank you for that, Peter, for grounding us. Our number is 800-348-2551. We go over to Elliot now in Lenox. Elliot.
Yes, I have a storage solution. We have a wine club here in Lenox, and we've tasted bivarietal wines costing as much as $80 down to a very inexpensive wine. And the predominant winners of these wine tests were box wines. And all I'm saying is there's some very, very good box wines. And as your guests know, the wine comes in a plastic bag with vacuum, and they can last. I've had a a box that's lasted over 3 months. I can't tell the difference between it in the third month and what it was when I first got it.
Now, Bill, did I see a visible wince when he said box wine is very good?
No, absolutely not. I absolutely agree with him 100%. One of the first really high-quality box wines that I ever had, it was back in the 80s, and I was over in Europe, and the fellow in a chain of little wine boutiques in England called Oddbins said, you got to try this New Zealand Sauvignon Blanc. And I said, great. And he pulls out this box, and I thought, you're kidding.
Uh-oh.
And he said, no, this is a 47-pound box of wine. It's a 3-liter box for 47 pounds in 1987 or whatever.
Yeah, that's
it was a lot of, it's an expensive wine. And it blew me away.
Really?
I couldn't believe how good it was. And to Elliot's point, you can purchase, not through the wine industry, but outside of the wine industry. And I just found out about this yesterday through a fan who listens to your show.
Really?
There's a
fan who listens to this show? I'll be darned.
He's a professor, retired professor from UAlbany.
Yeah.
And I'm sure he's listening right now. Hey, Seth, how you doing? And he mentioned that you can purchase bags for liquid storage. It's made primarily for, you know, sodas and for the sports industry and stuff like that. But you can buy them, and you could use them for wine. Absolutely. I agree with that.
Just get some argon.
Yeah. Well, there you go.
No, you don't need argon.
You wouldn't need it.
Well, hey, thanks, Elliot, for that call. We appreciate it. And our number here is 800-348-2551. Before we get to the next calls, let's get on to our second course. What have we here?
I've got an item coming up on our new menu, Christine Veronica. It's a toasted baguette with some fresh mozzarella, prosciutto.
Oh, nice.
Alex's homemade tomato jam, which we use on a couple other items on our menu. Little pecorino romano and a balsamic drizzle.
Tell us about really the nice tomato jam. This is the second time in 2 weeks I've heard the term tomato jam, and it was new to me.
It's basically a pancetta tomato jam that Alex cooks down, you know, with some onions, some shallots, some fresh tomatoes. Of course, the pancetta adds a nice little saltiness to it, and it just works really well with the other ingredients on this. So it was something he made for a nice little snack. I said, I like it enough. Let's put it on the menu.
Are you guys going to eat?
Yes.
I can't eat here by myself. We'll go to the phones, and I'll try a bite of this. 800-348-2551. John in East Greenbush. John, you're on.
Yes, I was just wondering, you mentioned argon. What about nitrogen or CO2 or some other gas without oxygen?
All of them have been tested, and food-grade argon is the winner. So
do we know why?
Yes, because it does not impart a flavor to the wine whatsoever. It's the one that imparts the least flavor to the wine of all the gases. It's the most inert.
Interesting.
So good question.
Okay.
Because, I mean, thank you very much for the call. We appreciate it. Because you can buy beer, Boddington's or whatever. It has the nitrogen pellet in it.
Right.
You don't taste the nitrogen there.
That's correct. But, you know, obviously, sometimes people who are wine lovers, a little more selective than the beer drinkers.
Oh, I see. Oh, I understand now. Well, thank you, Bill. This one came in from on Twitter from Food Friday Hall of Famer Deanna Fox. Why don't winemakers make smaller format wines like make your own six packs of beer, single serve wine beyond Tetra Pak?
Well, we do. They're 187s. We have the new Copa. And wine cups, which is a brand, but we have our own, which is unbranded. It comes actually in a single serving cup with a lid, and you remove the plastic lid, and then you peel off the foil, and you drink as much as you like, and then you can replace the plastic lid on the cup.
Oh, my gosh.
So you don't even have to finish the glass.
So you can take this to your kids' sporting events, to the soccer game, for instance, and they won't even know.
Well, you know, maybe a concert. How about
that? Well, that's interesting, and thank you for that on Twitter from Deanna. 800-348-2551 is the telephone number. Well, this is really, Peter, this is really delicious.
Glad
really good.
It. Yeah, so it works. The Sauvignon Blanc bill is spectacular with it, so it really works well with it.
I'm glad you enjoy this. I brought this Sauvignon Blanc because our first wine that we opened today was, you know, it's just under a $50 bottle, so a little on the expensive side. So I wanted to show that you can have a really great bottle of wine at much, much less. This is actually from Romania.
Mm-hmm.
And although I think most people who drink the Legendary, they don't think in terms of region. They just think, oh, well, I want a decent Sauvignon Blanc. But you're going to be able to secure this wine at a very, very reasonable price. What would you pour this at $6 a glass, something like that?
Yeah, somewhere between $6 and $8 a glass.
between $6 and $8 a glass
at
Veronica's.
Now, again, my wine palate is limited to say the least, but I'm almost getting a hint of apples in this. Is that wrong? Delicious. All right, over to line four and Rob in Ohio. Rob, you're on.
Well, it was Texas the first time, then Virginia, now it's Ohio.
Man, you get around. All right, go ahead.
I've got a 1992 Dom Perignon in my refrigerator, and I keep it laying down, rotating it, you know, occasionally to keep the cork moist. Is there anything else I can do to keep that from going bad until I can figure out when to drink it?
Well, you said refrigerator. Are you talking about a Eurocave or your actual food refrigerator?
My actual refrigerator.
No, I would say go for your cellar or a Eurocave. The problem is with a refrigerator is it can exacerbate the drying out of the cork.
All right. I'm either going to drink it at Thanksgiving at my family's house.
That's a good plan. Just don't do it while you're driving around the country, Rob.
No, I won't.
All right,
make
man.
Sure it's the first bottle, too.
Yeah, that's a good plan. Drink it first, and then all the cheapies later. Our number here is 800-348-2551, 800-348-2551. Bill Johnston, Peter Blackman here, and we talk food and wine pairings. So far, so good. We'll be back.
Support for WMC comes from the Black Sheep, downtown Amherst, a New York-style delicatessen and European-style all-butterscratch bakery, caterer, and cafe offering fair trade coffee, blacksheepdeli.com. Berkshire Country Day, an independent pre-K to 9 school with a comprehensive, challenging curriculum serving families in the Berkshires and Columbia County, open house November 7th, intentional, independent, inspired, berkshirecountryday.org. Gloriosa & Company, Ashfield, Massachusetts, preparing weddings, showers, reunions, and more at the Curtis House with 3 B&B rooms available or at their recently renovated barn, Farm to Vase Florals, gloriosaco.com. And Pekarsky's, South Deerfield, Massachusetts, family-owned since 1948, offering sausages from kielbasa to Italian to bratwurst and smoked meats, home of New England farm-made sausage, open 7 days, Pekarsky's.com.
Vox Pop Food Friday. Ray Graff here with you at 800-348-2551, 800-348-2551. We talk food and drink pairing today, specifically for the holiday season, but really whenever you want to. Bill Johnston is the wine guy. He is a wine importer with 20 years of industry experience. He's with Tri-Vin Imports. Peter Blackman is the proprietor of Veronica's Culinary Tavern in Altamont, New York. We've had two courses so far. And the third course is coming up. What do we have there?
We've got our crispy turkey wrap burgers. We've made it into sliders, so it's a nice small thing, which kind of brings us into the entertaining aspect of the holidays. I think it's a great way to, instead of doing a big sit-down dinner, do more of the cocktail party aspect, where you can grab some of these fantastic wines, put them out, people can drink what they want to drink, put some platters of some small bite foods out, and everybody gets to enjoy whatever they want to enjoy. And it's also great for the, you know, as you're entertaining, it's prep work, but basically the stuff's out and everybody can enjoy and drink and eat and get to catch up with each
and
other.
And it's less pressure for the hosts.
It's a little pre-pressure, but then it's
I love this idea, by the way. People just stand around, they have a nibble, they walk around, they have a drink. You're not sitting at the table with course number three and course number four. And
a little more fun, a little less
attitude.
And
your nephew's misbehaving and they're throwing rolls across. Yeah, this is good. Yeah. I like this.
You can leave the room. You can go to another room if necessary.
So we have turkey crispy wrap burger sliders, and we'll try those in a minute. Let's go to the phones. And Jay in Albany. Jay, you're on.
Hello, how are you? I am serious wine collector with a large collection, and I just wanted to congratulate you guys for providing some really great information for a lot of your listeners. I wanted to add a couple of things. On the comment on my corkscrew destroys the corks, we should mention that they need to get a corkscrew that has a hollow center and is made out of a wire. A lot of people use corkscrews with a solid center, you know, the ones with the horns.
Yeah.
And they just rip the cork to shreds.
Okay. Fair enough. You're nodding your head, Bill, so you agree?
Absolutely. Whenever I see one of those little wing style with it looks like it has a head on it with the arms.
That's the old school.
Yeah, they're the worst.
You guys are such snobs. I'll tell you what.
It's all about the toys to get the job done.
I guess so. What, you have another comment, Jay?
No, that's about it. I just enjoy listening to you guys. I had no idea there was such a show, and it's making me think about the 6 bottles of wine I got in the box in the passenger seat that I'm bringing up to Albany to have with some friends for dinner tonight.
Well, good job. And, Jay, thanks for the call. Have a great evening and a great weekend. Our number here is 800-348-2551. Bill Johnston is here and Peter Blackman. And, Peter, the slider is amazing. What is the mayo-like sauce we have there?
We've got a house-made sambal aioli.
Sambal aioli. Can you spell that and use it in a sentence?
I can. This turkey slider is fantastic with the sambal aioli on it.
What is that?
Basically, it is a Indonesian hot sauce that has some ginger in it, often some shrimp stock, and then it's... you know, for lack of a better term, a spicy mayonnaise. And it just really kicks off the house-made turkey burger wonderfully. It really complements it. And it's kind of cool because instead of using a roll, we take the tortilla and wrap the burger and everything around it and then throw it on the flat top and crisp it up. So I just think it's again, something that Alex made as a snack.
It's really delicious. And I think I like it better than a turkey dinner. But if you
be careful,
throw it in the deep fryer.
We'd like our customers to be able to come back, you know.
Well, I mean, you get an angioplasty, you come back for the next one.
I bet when I go back to the restaurant, Alex will have done that, and there'll be one sitting there.
Yeah, man. Yeah.
So you can follow me back.
And it pairs very nicely with this wine. Bill, what is the wine?
We have Melrose Pinot Noir from Oregon, and many people are familiar with the northern region, which is called the Willamette.
Mm-hmm.
But this is actually from Umpqua to the south. And the Parker family started out in California growing grapes and making raisins. And they dreamed of having a large vineyard. And, you know, an expensive vineyard up in Willamette, it was just wasn't in the cards for them.
Okay.
So they purchased a 100-acre farm in Umpqua, and they're making wines in that Willamette style. If I was tasting this blind, I'm in Willamette.
It's very nice.
Well, how far apart are they geographically?
It's a couple of hundred miles.
Okay, well, that's fairly close.
But it's a completely different microclimate, and so the people who love the Willamette compare it to the microclimate of Burgundy. And that's because of the range of mountains that are off to the west that withhold the moisture, and then in the evening when things cool down, then the moisture comes over and they get, that bath of moisture. It's very similar to the Burgundy as far as a weather microclimate. And so for that reason, they have attracted, and the soils are very similar as well, people from France, from Burgundy, coming over and purchasing land in Oregon to grow grapes.
This is a hearty and satisfying wine, almost meaty.
Yeah, and Pinot Noir is one of the trickiest, if not the trickiest, grapes to get right. And the northern Burgundy wines command ridiculously high prices, as much as $15,000 for one bottle.
Oh, why would you do that, Bill?
And, well, you got to taste these wines.
Oh, come on,
they're really good.
You know, you can get a good $10 bottle of wine. 15 G's?
Yeah, well, that's an entree Melrose. You know, the retail on this is 23, which is very low for Oregon.
Very reasonable, indeed.
But believe me, you can get it for even less than that, thanks to us, because we negotiated a really tough deal with the guys from Melrose.
It's very good stuff and a nice pairing with the slider. Let's go back to the phones at 800-348-2551. And Jen in LaGrange. Jen, you're on.
Yeah, hi. I have a question. Is there a U.S. wine that could be purchased now and given as a gift with stipulation of waiting like 20 years for a big anniversary or birthday to open? Or would that just be like Bordeaux and things that are from
that's
other
good,
countries?
That's a great question. If I put a bottle of 2020 away, would it get good in 20 years?
No.
Okay. All right. Thunderbird?
Yeah, that's why it's 2020. Okay. Right? 2020.
All right, go ahead.
No, I would go with something from the Stag's Leap District of, an estate bottle, estate grown from the Stag's Leap District of Napa in California, because that particular region just they love the traditional level of tannins and acids that you would see in a European wine, but you still have much more generosity in the fruit, so they will age easily for 20, 30, 50 years, 60 years, whatever you would like, and just continue to get more wonderful and well worth the investment. They're not cheap. So, but you get what you pay for.
And not damaged by the fires out there?
Well, obviously, that remains to be seen. You know, we don't have all the information we need yet. You got to taste the wine. You know, you got to see what ends up happening.
Are you looking for something that was that is this year's vintage?
Was thinking that, yeah.
Okay, that would yeah. So that might change things a little bit. She's not going to find.
Okay.
Yeah.
Maybe or maybe not.
Wait for the reviews.
Is it a bad year?
It may very well turn out to be because of the fires, as she has mentioned. That's a very good point.
There are no fires in New York. How about a New York wine?
Well, you're not going to find something that's quite as age-worthy, you know, because of the tannin level. They don't revere the tannins in New York quite as much as they do in other parts of the world.
I see. All right, Jen, well, good luck with that, and thank you for the call.
Thank you.
Bye now. 800-348-2551 is the number. 800-348-2551. Bill Johnston, I want to take exception to something you said.
All right.
You said you get what you pay for. Now, clearly, one thing we've learned on this program, having various wine experts, is that sometimes you don't have to pay a lot to get something really wonderful.
That's true.
Correct. But, and if you pay an exorbitant price for something, you're not necessarily getting something that much better. Am I wrong?
Yes, I think you are wrong on that. And I'll tell you why.
Like an importer.
Here's the reason for that misconception.
Yes.
Although we are, and you've made a very good point.
But it's wrong, eh?
That we are in the golden age of wine, and you can get an excellent bottle of wine for, you know, as little as $7, you can get a great bottle of wine.
Mm-hmm.
But the real problem that occurs, why people will come to you, and I hear it all the time, you know, I bought this wine, I thought I would go crazy and make a great gift out of it, and it was opened up at the event, and it was a $130 bottle of wine, tasted like socks to me. Well, that's because it was not the style that you were, you know, hoping for. Not that it was a bad wine, it's all about style. So it's a lock and key match. You need the correct key, in other words, the correct style of wine for your particular palate. And then once you are in that style, as you go up in price and you get to a better quality of wine, then you're going to get something that is better. But you have gotten a mismatch of style is what has happened.
So an ignoramus with $130 is a bad plan.
Well, you just need to stick with your style. You need to understand your style. And the way to do that, I've talked about this before on the show, I'll mention it again. And we've talked about it today all day. Think regionally. I mean, people like to think in terms of brand here in America. We're a Coke and Pepsi nation, and that doesn't really work that well with wine. You need to think in terms of region. And the next thing people will go to is grape. Oh, okay, well, I'm not going to just memorize all the wineries and try and stick with those names. So I'm a Merlot drinker, so as long as I get a Merlot. But the thing of it is, a Merlot from France is completely different from a Merlot from California.
Yeah.
So it's not safe to go with grape either. You need to think in terms of the region.
Very interesting.
But to back you up a little bit on this, Ray, I kind of go back to our last show, and it is drink what you like, and you drink, you know, drink something in your budget. If you enjoy it, continue to drink it.
All right, Peter. All right. You're,
just
you're,
keep drinking.
You're going to be welcome back. I'm not so sure about Bill. let's go back to the phones before we try our next course, 800-348-2551. Pete in Albany. Pete, you're on.
Yes, hello. Going to Italy next July and a region called, Todi. I believe it says it's in the region of Perugia. I think somewhere near Tuscany. Haven't looked too hard yet. Anything to look for that you're aware of in Italian wines that I should especially keep my eye out for?
Yeah, absolutely. What I would do is if you're going to be near Tuscany, I would try to get over toward Florence because it's really a wonderful area. There are beautiful vineyards all around the outskirts of the city, and the city sits down low in sort of a little valley with hills all around, and those hillside vineyards are absolutely beautiful. And there's a particular winery there, which is the old Medici family property.
Wow. You're kidding me.
So, yeah. So, you're talking about the home where Caterina de' Medici was born.
Are they still around? Is young Larry now in charge? Or
no, it's owned by the Malinchini family. And they have tours and they have wine that's made right on the property with the vineyards that have been in existence for many centuries.
Oh, terrific.
So, I would say go to Florence and go to Malinchini.
All right, Pete. Thanks for the call. All right, quickly, before we have to get through several calls here. This is our fourth course. And this would appear to be some sort of apple dish.
It's our house apple crisp.
It looks beautiful.
Sourced with fresh apples that are fantastic this year. Empire apples from Indian Ladder Farms. And then we have Alex's house-made apple cider donut gelato. We actually bought cider donuts from Indian Ladder, and he made a fantastic gelato that goes great with the crisp.
You made a gelato out of cider donuts?
Yes, we did.
Genius.
He is a genius.
Where's the Nobel Prize?
We're working on it. I've got him up for a nomination.
I got to tell you, is Indian Ladder not a great place?
It's spectacular, and they've had a great season. Their apples are absolutely, it was a great season for apples in the region. Always had to plan an extra 5 minutes on my way to work to come through there on the weekends.
The pairing here, it's fizzy. It's Alka-Seltzer, right?
Exactly.
Now, what do we got here?
You know? We're doing a Prosecco.
Mm.
And this particular Prosecco is an extra dry.
I love extra dry Prosecco. Love it.
What have you noticed about the flavor profile on that extra dry, Ray?
Well, it ain't Alka-Seltzer. I'll tell you that. It's very nice. It's not sweet. It's got a lot of fizz. It's make a nice Aperol spritz with that, let me tell you.
Yeah, because of the residual sugar. That's the ironic thing about extra dry is it's actually a little bit sweet.
Really?
Well, yeah.
But again, I've been drinking wine all day, something I never do. So, and I had some apple crisp. But to me, it's not sweet at all. It's like it ain't club soda, but it's nice. It's got a refreshing bubble to it. You ever had an Aperol spritz?
Of course, yes.
Yeah, oh, that's a good thing. And where's the port?
The port is right here.
You know I love port.
You
do? I love tawny port. With my cigar by the fire, my wife bought me a smoking jacket and a fez, and I sit by. Let's try it.
Well, we've got a treat for you, Ray. This is a 30-year.
I love a tawny port.
30 years.
Oh, look at that.
You know, you're talking about normally 100-plus, even for the half bottle. So... do you still think cheap wines are the best? Talk to me.
Port is different. Let's quickly get a call in here. I know Mark in South Deerfield's been waiting. Mark, go ahead.
Hi. I just had a question concerning champagne. I had an occasion years ago to get some domestic French champagne from a fellow over in France, and it was such a different flavor and a different – I mean, there was no tannin. It was just a different thing than you can buy anywhere here. Do they – in fact, have a different product that they export out of France as compared to domestic consumption?
Yes, that's an excellent question. And normally they are simpler wines. They're not as high quality, and they try to put their best foot forward when it comes to the exports. So you're normally getting actually a little bit better product here, especially if it's from a marquee region like from Champagne. But, you know, sometimes if you're talking about just a country wine from the Southwest or something like that, then, you know, you'll have a little bit better quality there than you would have here. So it goes back to the region itself. Keep in mind that in Champagne, they have a big reputation to uphold. So they're going to try to take their very best wine and send it out for people to try.
And I think we will have to leave it there, and I apologize to everybody left on the line. Now, there are a lot of questions about wine and food. Bill, if people need to get in touch with you, do you have an email? Is there a link on the website?
Absolutely. Just give us a check us out at tryvin.com.
Tryvin, is there a dash or anything in between?
There is a hyphen, yes, TRI-VIN.com.
Okay, very good, and thank you. And Peter Blackman, how do people find out more about Veronica's?
VeronicasTavern.com, or just come on out and see us and have a great time.
And that's in Altamont, New York.
Altamont, New York, corner of Main and Maple.
Well,
come see
us.
This
was great, guys. We learned a lot, and the food was delicious, the wine was delicious, and the port is phenomenal. What's the brand on that again?
That's Pocus.
Really good. Really good. Well,
have
thanks
a great
for
holiday season, everybody.
And we'll see you guys, I'm sure, early in 2018. Support comes from Harold's Ice Cream, Thorne's Marketplace, Old South Street, downtown Northampton, Massachusetts. Dairy and no moo dairy-free, handmade artisan ice cream, sweet baked goods, hot fudge, and more. Harold's.com. Cafe Capriccio. Chef Jim Rua, working to preserve and maintain the traditions of Italian cuisine and hospitality since 1982 on Grand Street in Albany, New York, cafecapriccio.com. And Field Goods, local produce from the Hudson Valley delivered weekly to workplace and community locations, helping people change the way they eat while supporting small, sustainable farms. Field-goods.com. Thanks again to Bill Johnston and Peter Blackman for being here. Thank you for the great calls and for the emails. And thanks to Zach Malloy, our engineer. Barb King took your calls. Our producer is Jim Lavoulis. I'm Ray Graff. Have a lovely weekend. Alan will be back in the big chair on Monday for a Medical Monday. Right now, stand by for news.